that. Well, I'm excited to share God's word with you again today. But I just want to talk just before we get into the word and kind of continue what we started last week, which was raising a family and household of faith. I just want to chat with you just for a couple minutes about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In last week's service, we had an opportunity just to, together as a family, create an opportunity for those of us who haven't received the baptism in the Holy Spirit and maybe who don't have that private prayer language. We had an opportunity to receive that in last week's service. And I just want to encourage you as a church family in regards to that, that we believe here at Solid Rock that baptism in the Holy Spirit, that's something that's separate apart from the new birth, separate apart from the salvation experience. It's not essential. It's not a requirement to salvation, but it's a good gift. You know, God's word says that every gift from the Father is a perfect and good gift, right? And so we believe it's a good gift, that it's not only available to every believer, but it's God's desire for every believer to have that, be filled with the Holy Spirit and to have that private prayer language, that speaking in tongues where they can build themselves up, edify themselves, and really have access to all the spiritual gifts that God has for us. But here's the thing with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's received by faith, exactly the way we receive everything else that we receive from God. So, for example, with the gift of healing, if I come up and let's say, I use my son for example. I hope he's okay with this. But Christian has an arm injury. He's got a broken hand right now. And so if Christian were to come up and say, "Dad, would you pray for me to receive healing?" And we've already actually prayed. Believe me, we wouldn't have him injure himself 4 days ago and not have prayed with him. But if he was to come up and say, "Dad, would you pray for me?" I would say, "Absolutely. I'll join my faith with yours." We would declare God's word over Christian, and we would believe that he has now received healing in his hand. And we would continue to stand in faith until healing has fully manifested in his hand. Now, right after I pray for Christian, if Christian was to look at me and say, "Dad, you know, there's still some swelling in my hand. I can still feel some pain. I'm not healed." You know, that we would believe that that's not actually the case, right? We believe that, no, we prayed and we believed and we received your healing by faith together. And so even if it doesn't manifest right away, we believe that you have received it. And he would, you know, and I know that Christian would believe that way. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit is really the very same way, guys. And so when we desire this good gift from the Lord, we come and say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and to give me the gift to speak in other languages. And I believe I receive it by faith. At that moment, you have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And even if it doesn't matter, you know, sometimes, you know, there's three times in the book of Acts where people, they desired that and they, right away, they were given this new language to speak in. But for some people, it doesn't happen right away. And what can sometimes happen is that when we desire that gift and we ask the Lord for it, and then when it doesn't manifest exactly maybe in the timeline or in the way that we were expecting, there's a possibility that we could say, "Well, I guess I didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit." Or some other folks sometimes make the choice to believe, "Well, I've received it, but not the gift of speaking in tongues. Clearly, I guess that wasn't for me." And I would just encourage you, if you've ever responded to the Holy Spirit, whether it was last week or another time in our church or anywhere else where you had an opportunity, perhaps just you spent time in private with the Lord, just your private prayer time, and you've asked the Holy Spirit to fill you and give you that, continue to stand in faith, believing that you have received, because you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you desire it, God's word says, if we ask it according to his will, he will give it to us. Okay? And so don't question that. I just encourage you, don't question that or think that you have to ask again, right? If someone's asked me, if one of my children asked me for something, and God is making a face at me. If my children ask me for something and I give it to them, they don't come and ask me again for that very same thing because they've already received it, right? But that's where the faith comes in, right? Because some of the things that we receive from Heavenly Father don't manifest immediately. And so if you're kind of in that in-between where you've received baptism in the Holy Spirit and you're believing and standing in faith, waiting for just a greater flow and for that personal prayer language, I just encourage you, stay in faith. Keep believing it. And you can practice it. And sometimes what happens is we can kind of get in our own heads a little bit as people. And we think, well, if I'm just going to like practice and try, you know, in a prayerful attitude, just try saying some words that wouldn't be English, that would have to be the flesh. Sometimes it starts that way, guys. You know, just sometimes we might start in the flesh and just start opening our mouths, and it might feel really silly and awkward. But you know what you're doing? You're starting to open the tap. And just that willingness to step forward in faith, sometimes is all that's needed to crack that tap and for that flow of the Holy Spirit to start working in your life. So just stay in faith and don't get too hung up on, is this me or is this the Holy Spirit? Just go for it. Stay in faith. Don't get discouraged and let Him fill you up. Amen? So I just want to encourage you with that. Well, we're going to continue talking about raising a family and household of faith. And last week, one of the verses that we read was from the book of Galatians, Galatians 6, 9 and 10. And therefore, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And we talked about last week how I believe, and we believe at Solid Rock, that it's God's will for His family and for families to thrive. And so that means us as a church family. Now, the household of faith can even mean the broader church family, all the family of believers that we're joined to across the church, but also your specific family, the specific family that you're joined to. And it might be, you know, you and your spouse, or it might be your children, or it might be, you know, family might be just friends and other people that God's brought that are really close into your life. They're just like family. Sometimes friends can be closer than family, even. If you're in a situation like that, those people are family to you. So whatever family is to you, it's God's desire for your family to thrive. And in life, every family is part of a larger family, right? So, you know, your immediate household family is part of this family, and this family of believers that we call Solid Rock Church is part of a larger family called Impacting Canada Ministries. That's the larger family of churches that we're a part of. And that ministry, that network, Impacting Canada Ministries, is part of what we would call the household of faith. People that kind of believe a certain way. We talked last week about some of the characteristics and values and culture of the household of faith that we're joined to. Now, we're not going to go through that list again. But the point is, we've been joined to a family. And if we're going to be part of the household of faith, and that's been our decision, that's our desire, we believe that God's called us in this direction. We want to raise our families, the places where we have influence, the families that we're called to be a part of and the families that we're called to leave, we need to learn and be intentional about raising our family in the household of faith. And that's going to require some specific things. It's going to require cultivating some things in our lives. And that word cultivating implies work. There's effort and intentionality that's required to raise a family in the household of faith. But there's great reward, I believe, when we look to these things and do these things. And I want to say, you know, this is one of those words that the Lord's been speaking to me. And guys, I'm preaching today just as much to me as I am to you. I want you to know that, because this is one of the areas where, for Candace and myself, the Lord's been speaking to us more so probably over the last couple of years, and even recently, greater than ever before, is just doing some things to see our family raised up in the household of faith, and to be able to walk in the truths that God wants us to walk in, and to be able to transfer that and see that become real and evident in the lives of our children. But here's the thing, we can't impart things to our children that we haven't received ourselves. And if we're not walking in it, good luck trying to impart it to your children. Right? We have to receive the truths ourselves. We have to have everything that we want to impart, we have to have a measure of that active in our lives, and then by God's grace, we can pass it on. But one of the things that, you know, I'm often reminded of is, you know, our children, sometimes in life we can kind of snowball people and they can kind of get a picture of us. And we're not maybe intentionally trying to snowball them, but they can kind of see us as something that we're not. For example, I go get my hair cut at Brooke the Barber. And for whatever reason, Brooke really thinks I'm quite the talker and quite the extrovert. We've had this conversation a couple of times, and I don't know how it comes up, but I'm like, yeah, I don't talk a whole lot. And he's like, really? You're a pastor. Pastors love talking, don't they? And I'm like, well, not this pastor. He says, well, you're always talking when you're here. And I said, well, I guess I'm comfortable around you. We must have lots in common to talk about. But, you know, he just, for example, sees me as a really extroverted person. The point is, with our children, with our family especially, we're not going to be able to fool anyone, right? They know us as who we are. They know who the real us is. And so it's so important for us to let the Holy Spirit change us into a new man, change us into a new person, so that we really have a foundation to transfer those truths onto our children. The first thing that we're going to talk about today, the first foundational principle about raising a family in the household of faith, is this: the topic of love and how important love is. And so I guess the subtitle for today's sermon would be, We Love Because We've Been Loved. We love because we've been loved. So as people of faith, we believe in the importance of faith. We've talked about how grace provides and faith receives, right? Faith is the way that we receive everything from God. So that's the new birth, the salvation experience, healing, financial provision, baptism in the Holy Spirit, the spiritual gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, the authority that we have in Christ, victory over the devil, power to live above our circumstances. You know, everything that God's given us, we receive those things by faith. It's possible for us, though, to, you know, as we study faith and as we learn to receive things by faith, we learn how to apply our faith, and we learn how to stand strong in faith, sometimes we can get kind of focused on the mechanics or the process of faith and not pay as much attention to the foundation of faith as we ought to. And the foundation of faith is love. The foundation of faith is love. This is a familiar verse to us. But Galatians 5:6 says, For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith worketh through love. Faith works through love. As you guys know, we've been on a foundation saga at our house, right? We repaired the foundation in our house a while back, and now we're doing some more things. We're actually taking part of the house off because part of the new foundation isn't doing so well. One of the things that I have learned more than ever, and I knew this before, but more than ever, is that a strong home or a strong building needs a strong foundation. If we're going to have strong families in the household of faith, we need to have the right foundation and a strong foundation. And we must have a revelation that faith works by love. We can have all the focus on faith that we want. We can be believing for this and that and be standing in faith, but love is the thing that undergirds that faith, that supports that faith, that inspires that faith. And if God's love is not there, if a revelation of God's love is not there, we're going to have a faith failure on our hands. Love has to come first, a revelation of God's love. I would say that love even gives us a reason to believe God in the first place, to believe in God in the first place. Let's read 1 John 4:7-11. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. Do you guys see the process or the order there? God doesn't love us because we choose to love him. His love came first, right? God loved us, and that expression of that love was sending his Son. I know to many of us, we think, well, we know this, Pastor Cam. This is old hat. It's really important for us to get a revelation on the love of God and understand that the only reason that we can love, the only way that we have the ability to show love to others, is because Christ first loved us, and he expressed that love to us. And because he did that, that's why we have the opportunity and the ability to show love to each other. God sacrificed his Son for us, and what motivated him to do it was love. And it's that same love that motivates him to do everything else for us. His love motivates his grace. His love is behind his grace. It's his love that provides everything we need, 1 Peter says, for life and for godliness. And so when we receive the love of God, now we become carriers of the love of God. We talked about this earlier, but you can't give something away that you don't have, right? If you haven't received the love of God, if you're not filled up with the love of God, you're not going to be able to express that love to those around you. We need to get filled up on it first so we can give it away. And what happens is people who don't have a revelation of how much God loves them have difficulty accepting themselves and loving themselves, and as a consequence, they struggle to show love to those around them. You guys catch that? If you don't have a revelation of God's love yourself, you find it difficult to accept yourself and love yourself, and then it's really difficult to show love to those around you. So we need to get to the place where we have, and it's, you know, it only happens by God's Holy Spirit, where we get a revelation and understanding of how much deeply God loves us, how much He cares for us, how much He accepts us, that He's not looking to have us qualify ourselves by any works or, you know, holy performance for a certain period of time or anything like that, but that He loves us just because we're us, just because we're here, and His heart is toward us, and He created us. He had us in mind before the world began. He had you and I in mind, what we'd be like, what our personalities would be like, what we would look like. He had us in mind before the world began, and His love has always been toward us. In our home, we have a rule that we've had for, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 years. We call it the no strife rule. This is a hard rule to follow. But basically, the no strife rule, it's a rule that really anyone can, you know, bring anyone else's attention to. Sometimes the children are bringing it to attention to mom and dad. Probably a little bit more often than mom and dad are bringing it to attention to the children. But, you know, when we find each other maybe getting a little bit easily offended or yielding to strife or yielding to a little bit of unforgiveness, or maybe just being easily offended or touchy. Just call it, you know, just being touchy. Just like, touchy is just kind of not even consciously, but just taking really any opportunity to get upset at something that happens. It's just, you're touchy. It's like, people can't do anything. It's like, why are you doing that for? I don't know. And so when that happens in our house, we call it a no strife rule. Say, guys, remember we have a no strife rule in our house. And so if you're going to stay in strife, you just have to go out of the house. And that's harder to do in the wintertime. I don't think that's ever happened where someone's actually gone out of the house. But, you know, it's important for us to have that no strife rule in our house. But here's the thing. You can't follow that rule apart from love, right? We don't have the strength in of ourselves to follow that rule. And so there's times where, unfortunately, we yield to strife. But when we yield to strife, if we actually sit back and think about, you know, let's just kind of look at what happened there, maybe look back a couple steps, and what are the motivations or what am I feeling, it always comes back to a lack of love. When we're choosing not to walk in love, when we're choosing not to yield to love, then strife and touchiness and all these other things, that is the natural outcome. But we can always look back at that situation and say, you know what, if I would have chosen the way of love, whether my concern was valid or not, I would have chosen not to get upset and touchy about it. It always comes back to walking in love. And so one of the things that we're, and I would say we're probably not learning it as fast as we could as a family, one of the things that we're learning to do is focus on the love. Go back to the love. Because when we're walking in love, the other stuff just kind of moves away. It just kind of, it's just not there anymore. All right? But when we're focused on the rules and we're focused on the behaviors, well, then we're quite often talking about the no strife rule. And so I just want to encourage you with that. If that happens in your home, one of the things, you know, this is a little bit more practical, but just take a second to see, well, where's the love at in this situation? Where's the love at in my life? Am I thinking and talking from a perspective and an attitude of love? Or am I just kind of like just going with what the flesh feels like and kind of just saying what the flesh feels like to say? You take that time to do that, God will show you some things. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, if I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love. My words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal." Now, Matt did a real nice job of playing the drums here this morning. But if Matt would have come up and just started banging that cymbal and banging that cymbal, doing nothing else and not paying attention to the time, eventually someone would have said, "Matt, stop it. That's annoying. Don't do that." Thank the Lord he didn't do that. We have, Christian is learning to play the drums in our house, and he's doing really well. He's got a drum set in his room. But there's some times where, you know, Christian will just test out the cymbal quality in those drums as well, too, right? And it's not, you know, it's nice when the drums are played all together to a melody and in time to music, right? But a clanging cymbal is not a pleasing sound when it's all by itself. And when we're trying to follow godly behaviors, when we're trying to take the high road, if it's not motivated, at the end of the day, if we're not motivated by love, if we're not speaking from a foundation of love, our words are going to be like a clanging cymbal. They're just going to be grating to other people. We need to have that foundation of love. Love has to come first. And one of the things that Candace and I have talked about, realized that we can't expect love from our children if we're not showing love ourselves. This is an important lesson for us as parents. We have to have the love of God flowing in our lives. We have to be filled up on love if we're going to be able to show it to our children. And we can't have an expectation of love in our family if we're not modeling it and demonstrating it in our lives, in our marriage, and in our interactions. And that's a challenge as parents, isn't it? Those of you who have parents, would you agree with me? It's a challenge sometimes, isn't it? Because we do things that might cause our partner not to feel very loving toward us. You know, and sometimes the kids will do things that don't, you know, they might not cause other people around them to feel very loving. That's just human nature. So we have to learn to walk in love, not be touchy, not be easily offended, so that the Holy Spirit, that the presence of the Holy Spirit stays in our homes. And it's a tough thing as a parent not to focus on the behavior, isn't it? You know, sometimes a behavior takes place, and we want to go after the behavior and talk about the behavior. And I do this often. But there's always a root to the behavior. There's always a root cause of the behavior. And almost always, it can be traced back to a lack of love, not walking in love. So love, I believe, is such a foundational key when we're teaching our families how to live by faith. I think it was Jeremy Pearson's gave the illustration this way, or talked about it this way. And we can think of a vehicle that needs fuel to operate, to move. So faith is the vehicle where we receive everything from God. So if faith is a vehicle, love is the fuel for that vehicle. So you can have faith, you can have the vehicle to receive from God, but if there's no love in the fuel tank, that faith vehicle is not going to get very far. It's not going to end up where you want it to end up. You're not going to be able to receive what you're hoping to receive if that vehicle, if your faith is not filled up on love, undergirded and supported by love. And what happens, I believe, is some of us, sometimes we don't have a revelation of how much God loves us, and we're standing in faith for something, and then when we don't see the manifestation of it, we lose faith in God's word, and we struggle to believe, and we find our faith weakening. And eventually, sometimes we just give up and say, "Well, I guess that wasn't for me." And we find ourselves speaking words of doubt and unbelief rather than faith. I believe that even many faith failures are actually a love failure. Many faith failures can be traced back to a lack of revelation of God's goodness, because we need a revelation of God's love to undergird our faith. You know, when we're believing for something, there's often a waiting period. And the Bible talks about that we need patience, that patience is such an important part of faith. Well, what are we having patience for? We're having patience in God's goodness to manifest. But if we're not firm believers in God's goodness, his love for us, his desire to bless us, then the patience can wane pretty fast. So it's related to our self-identity, but even more than that, it's related to who do we see God as? How do we see him? And how do we believe in our hearts that he feels about us? And then how do we believe that he sees us? Do we see him as someone who is good and only good, and his desire is to bless us? in any way possible? Or is he someone who's kind of not sure about us and maybe holding back and kind of just looking back and seeing how we're going to do there? 1 John 4:17 to 18 says, "And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we're afraid, it's for fear of punishment, and this shows we have not fully experienced his perfect love." We know that fear is the opposite of faith, right? And so when we have a revelation of God's love, when we choose to believe that God loves us so deeply, what happens is fear goes away. God's love chases out fear. God's love expels fear. Well, what's going to happen when that fear is chased away? We're creating room for faith, right? We know that fear and faith fight each other. When they're trying to coexist, fear is going to push out faith every time. But when we're rooted and grounded in the love of God, and we're rooted and grounded in his goodness and how much he desires to bless us and do good things for us, the fear will leave and the faith will increase. And that's when we're going to have the strength to stand in faith and believe for the fullness of everything that he's provided for us. When we know how much God cares for us, we can trust him to do what he says, and we can have faith that he'll take care of us in every situation. You know, I believe that children raised in a loving environment have great confidence in the goodness of their parents. And they'll ask their parents for things. We've been asked for all kinds of things, right, Kylie? Kylie used to ask us for a horse when she was a lot younger. Right now, Christian's asking for a dirt bike. That's all right. He's got the confidence to ask for it. I don't have the ability right now to give him a dirt bike, but my heart is for him, and I'm joining my faith with him. But our children will ask us for stuff, and they have a confident expectation of their parents' goodness. And that's the relationship that we want to have with our Heavenly Father, is a confident expectation of his goodness, so they're willing to boldly come to him and ask him for the things that we know are in line with his will. Now, if one of my children was to come and ask me for something that they knew that there's no way that I would be interested in doing that for them, they're not going to have a whole lot of confidence that their request is going to be met, right? But if they know, if let's say they have a relationship with me, and we've talked about that thing, and I've agreed many times that, yeah, you would really enjoy that. I could see you really doing well at that thing. And that'd be a lot of fun for our family to have that in our household. If they come and ask me for it, they have confidence that I'm on board, right? They know my heart. They're ready for it. And that's where spending time in the Word of God and spending time with His Holy Spirit gives us, spending time with the Holy Spirit gives us great confidence about God's goodness and the desires of His heart. And it gives us boldness when we come into his presence. 1 John 5:14 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." Man, when you know God's heart, when you've taken the time to work on that relationship and be grounded and filled with his love, when you're needing provision in your life, or you're needing healing in your marriage, or restoration in a relationship, soundness for your mind, a breakthrough at work, favor in your job or your career, whatever it is you're believing for in your life, when you know God and you know his goodness, and when you know his heart toward you, and when you know the love he has for you, doesn't that increase your confidence? Doesn't it increase your boldness? Amen, it does for me. And that boldness, I think, is seen in other ways as well, too. When our children make mistakes, they know they can ask for more mercy, maybe than they deserve. And it might not, you know, that mercy might not come fully in the way they expect or fully in the way that they might desire. But they know as parents, as loving parents, that our hearts are toward them. That we desire to see them raised up and not torn down. And so they can even ask for mercy. And they'd be bold about it because they're grounded in love. Hebrews 4:16, "Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy. We will find grace to help us when we need it most." Praise God for his mercy. It's there when we need it the most. And when we have a confident expectation of God's goodness, of His love. We're not whining and pleading, and we're not trying to convince God. We're saying, Lord, Your Word says this. I believe it. I know this is who You are. And so I ask for a manifestation of Your mercy in my life. I need Your mercy. And He gladly brings it. He gladly provides it to us because we're coming in faith with the revelation of love. Boldness comes from a realization of having received God's love, and God's love gives us unshakable confidence in His goodness. You know, sometimes, and I don't know if any of the other parents feel this way, Candace and I have been, I think it's going to be married 20 years in November here, and we've had kids for 16 of those years, and probably sometimes we look like we got some things figured out, but any of you that are parents, you know, there are times in your life where you're just like happy to have something on the table that morning and happy to be wearing clothes on the way to school or whatever, right? Life can sometimes be tough, and some of the small things can seem like hard challenges sometimes. In the busyness of life, when curveballs are thrown at us, even just raising three children, we only have three, that can be a challenge sometimes. I was listening to some music last night, and this young lady, I was interested to know more about her, and so I typed her name into Google, and I found out she's one of 13 children. And they're a musical family called it's a Spencer Family Music, I think is their name of their band, and they travel around. 13 children. I had to count the kids in that picture three times, just like still trying to wrap my mind around that. But, you know, with three children, sometimes it can seem like, man, keeping a household clean and getting everyone to their appointments on time, that can be a challenge. You're making sure that everyone's had showers and, you know, just the basic things. Can be a little bit daunting sometimes, but by God's grace, we make it through it. Well, raising a family in the household of faith can also be daunting at times. It's an awesome responsibility as a parent to know that I have to receive the things that the Lord wants for my family. I have to learn to receive them first. And they have to be evident in my life. And the only way they're going to flow into the lives of my children is if there's overflow from my life, right? And so that's an awesome responsibility as a parent. And sometimes it can be daunting. Thank the Lord for His grace, that He helps us do that. And it's just, you know, that He's on our side, that He's for us, that He's helping us overflow, get filled up on His love and all the other things that we need to get filled up on, because we need His help and we do need His grace. But here's the thing with love. It comes with a guarantee. Love comes with a guarantee. And I like guarantees. Anyone else be willing to admit they like a guarantee in life? Guarantees are a good thing, aren't they? Chris likes guarantees. Steve likes guarantees. I bought some rigid tools once. I don't know if you guys ever bought some rigid tools, but they often come with a lifetime guarantee. Now, you have to register on their website, but I bought a cordless drill set in the mid-2000s, and about 3 years ago, I took my cordless drills to Regina and got them exchanged at a repair depot for brand new batteries. That was a good guarantee. I like buying Mastercraft tools, for example, because they have a lifetime guarantee. And again, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, I brought in I think it was a 3/8 drive socket that I'd had for easily a dozen years that wasn't working so well. And 10 minutes later, I walked out of Canadian Tire with a brand new socket because they have a lifetime guarantee on their tools. So especially for guys who like tools, guarantees are a good thing. Love comes with a guarantee. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8 says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Here's the guarantee. Love never fails. Love never fails. So, you know, yes, raising a family can seem daunting sometimes. Yes, raising a family in the household of faith can feel like an awesome task and an awesome responsibility. But if we choose love, and if we choose to have love as the foundation, we have a guarantee that love never fails. And if you've thought about raising children in the household of faith, you're thinking, how is it that I'm going to impart what the Lord has shown me into these young ones, to cause them to be raised up to be the young men and the young women that are going to have a heart after God, that are going to pursue God, that are going to value, you know, all the blessing and all the things that the Lord wants them to have, and they're going to just have hearts that are full of the life of God, and they're going to pursue God's presence, pursue the anointing. They're going to pursue operating in life through the power of the Holy Spirit. How is that going to happen? Well, if we choose the way of love, it comes with a guarantee. Love never fails. Love will make that happen. We need, then, to get filled up on love. And that's the last point I'm going to make is, yes, love comes with a guarantee. But if love is the fuel tank that supports our faith, if love is the fuel tank that drives that faith vehicle in our lives and gives energy and life to our faith, there's an onus. There's a mandate on each of us to continually get filled up on love. And so we're just going to read just a couple of scriptures here that just might help, hopefully will help your love fuel tank get filled up. And we're talking about the love of God, right? How much God loves you, how much he's for you, how much he cares for you. Romans 5, 6 says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us as sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners. If you think back in your life, and I know that those of us who have a relationship with Christ, some of us came to know the Lord when we were young children. Others of us weren't so lovable or even likable when we were still sinners. Am I right? There might have been attitudes and behaviors that we were exhibiting, and things that we were stuck in, ruts that we were stuck in, even addictions perhaps, that weren't very appealing. Well, God loved us in that place when we were at our worst and at our ugliest in many ways. His love was for us. And he was looking at us in that place when he sent his son to die for us, when he sent Christ to pay the penalty for our sins. How much more can we have confidence of his love and confident expectation of his goodness now that we're part of his family, now that we've been brought into his family and he sees us as children of God? 1 John 3 says, verse 1, Look with wonder at the depths of the Father's marvelous love that he's lavished on us. He's called us and made us his very own beloved children. The reason the world doesn't recognize who we are is they didn't recognize him. We're God's children. His heart is, he loved us enough to die for us when we weren't his children. And now we are his children. Now we're not, he says, his beloved children. The people, there's other scriptures that talk about you and I being the apple of God's eye. I don't know, when I think of my children, they're very different. And I can look at each of them and see them as the apple of my eye because I'm thinking of their personality and what they bring and the joy that they bring in their unique way. And so it's not that one is more important than the other, but there are things unique and special about you. And I know you know this, but it's different than anyone else in the world. So God can look at you and say, you're the apple of my eye. And he'll just spend time just thinking about you and just feeling good about who you are and taking joy in how far you've come, the decisions you make, and just relishing and enjoying thinking about you and taking pleasure in the young man, young woman, or the older man, the older woman, whoever you are, wherever you are in your faith journey. Doesn't matter how old we are, we're still children of God, right? Taking pleasure in you, thinking about you, considering you. The last thing that we need to remember is that love is the greatest commandment that we have from God. John 13:34 says, I'm giving you a new commandment. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples. I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I loved you. You should love each other. We talked about how you can't give something away that you don't have. And so Jesus is saying, I've loved you. I'm showing this love. The way that I've loved you, give it away. And that's why God's given us that commandment, because God's love on earth is expressed through people, through God's people. We have to receive it first. And so we know it's a choice to receive God's love, but then it's a choice to give it away. Amen? And when we do that, we are showing the God kind of love to each other. And so I just want to encourage you. We're going to have some other things that we're going to talk about raising a family in the household of faith, but it's got to start with love. Amen? This foundation of love, this revelation of how much God loves us, We need to get that first, receive that first. And so if you've been in a place where you've been unsure at times, and you maybe are questioning God's goodness, get into His promises, get into His Word. But I would encourage you to specifically focus on the passages, the Scriptures, that talk about how much God loves you. King David was someone, when I think of the Word, King David was a man who really, really, really believed that God loved him. That's why when we read the Psalms, so many, you know, it's not just King David, it's the people around him, that rubbed off on them, because there's lots of Psalms written by this guy called Asaph, and he talks the same way King David does. So that belief that King David had, he was raising a household of faith, and there was people in his household and people around him that they caught it, and they also got that same revelation of just how much God loved them, just how much God's heart was for them. So whatever verses that you need to get in, get them in front of your eyes. Print them out. Put them on your fridge, your vehicle, whatever. And so that way when you're believing for the things that you've set your faith for in your life, that way you have that love that supports that faith. There's that love. There's that confident expectation of God's goodness. And if you ever start doubting, just think back to the character and nature of God and how much He desires to bless you and bring good in your life. We really believe this, guys. Love is the foundation. Get grounded in love, and the other stuff will come to pass. It starts with love. Amen? Let's stand up. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word today. We thank You how You are showing us that faith works by love. And because faith is the way that we receive everything else, every spiritual gift, Lord, every good thing that You have for us are received by faith. But faith works by love, Lord. We purpose today to receive Your love. Lord, we recognize that Your heart is for us. We recognize, Lord, that You desire good for us and blessing for us and increase. And Your desire is to see us thrive and our families thrive. And Your desire is to see the household of faith thrive, Lord. And so as we commit to raising families in the household of faith, and as we commit to having influence of the families that You've brought us into, Lord, may we, first of all, Lord, have a revelation of Your love and Your goodness toward us. Lord, we thank You as a result that we have great confidence in Your love, great confidence in Your goodness, and we come before Your throne with boldness to make the requests. We come boldly before Your throne, Lord, when we need mercy, when we've messed up, when we've made mistakes, Lord, or when we're just believing for the good things, Lord, that You've stored up for those who love You, Lord. We declare, Lord, that we're doing it from a foundation of love. Lord, so speak to us, fill us up with Your love. We thank You, Lord, that You desire us to walk in the fullness of the godly life, Lord. You desire us to walk in the fullness of the blessing and to receive all that You have for us, Lord, by faith, through love, in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we go forth this week, Lord, Lord, may we be agents of Your love. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that Your love is in our spirit, and so we declare it to manifest in our relationships, in our interactions, in all the involvement that we have this week, Lord. As we live by Your Spirit, as we listen and live by obedience to You, Holy Spirit, we will show Your love this week. We will give away the love You've given us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, be blessed this week. I encourage you to come up and receive prayer. If there's anything that you'd like to receive prayer for, we'll stand with you in faith. Have a great week.